From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point.
Oh, yeah. Hello, world. Peace and love. I wish you the best.
Jazz has had a long journey from its early days in New Orleans to the big band era to the tiny club heydays of the 50s and 60s, and it is still traveling. The Newport Jazz Festival opens this weekend with a lot of big-name regulars and a stream of young guns too. Robert Glasper, Esperanza Spalding, Jonathan Batiste, and more. The great Terrence Blanchard joins us today with his horn in both worlds, old and new, this hour on Point Jazz and where it's headed. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you hear? What are you listening to? Where's jazz going? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Little Robert Glasper experiment behind us right there. We're going to hear Terrence Blanchard in just a moment. In fact, he joins me in the studio right now. Jazz great, Terrence Blanchard, Louisiana-born, studied under Art Blakey. Now he's a five-time Grammy Award-winning jazz trumpeter, band leader, composer, arranger, and film scorer. He's all over. He wrote music for Spike Lee's movies and put out the award-winning albums In My Solitude, Let's Get Lost, Flow, and many more. His new opera, Champion, opened in July in St. Louis. His latest album is Magnetic. He's playing in tonight in Boston and tomorrow at the Newport Jazz Festival in Newport, Rhode Island. Terrence Blanchard, it's been a while. It's great to see you. Welcome back to On Point.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom. It's good to be back.
Wonderful to have you right here. And with us in Providence, Rhode Island, on his way to Newport, is Patrick Jaran-Watanonan, jazz critic and producer for NPR Music and editor of the NPR jazz site Blog Supreme. He'll be covering the Newport Jazz Festival, and NPR Music will be live streaming all of the performances this weekend. Patrick, welcome to On Point. Wonderful to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. Honor to be with you fellas.
Oh, just wonderful to have you. We're going to hear a little later in the hour from Jonathan Batiste, and we're going to hear a lot of great music in this hour. Let's start right in with a track off Terrence Blanchard's latest. This is Magnetic, from title track from the album, composed and performed by my guest, Terrence Blanchard. You'll hear also Bryce Winston on tenor saxophone, Kendrick Scott on drums. Let's listen. Terrence Blanchard with Magnetic, title track from his album this year, Magnetic. He's with me in the studio. Such a privilege. Terrence, you pay a lot of attention to a lot of things going on in jazz. Let's just think about your latest album and this piece. We've got it right in our ears.
Sure.
What stream of what's going on now is this? How would you describe it?
Well, what's happening here is kind of like a melding of a lot of musical genres together, you know, trying to take composition in the world of jazz to a new place or a different place, trying to bring in my background as a film composer, my background as a person who loves classical music into the world of jazz, but not forgetting the tradition of jazz. So there's when you heard the introduction, that rhythmic thing comes from more of a contemporary form of classical music.
Mm-hmm.
But also the harmonic thing and some of the things that we're doing in terms of improvisation are definitely part of the history of jazz.
Patrick, you're listening in there. When you listen to the latest work here from Terrence Blanchard, do you hear old? Do you hear new? What's the balance? And where do you put this in the spectrum of things going on now in jazz, Patrick?
Well, it's hard to say exactly. You know, I hear, just like Terrence says, there's a lot of nod to tradition, but you know, it's got kind of a modern flow. You know, the way that rhythm section sound seem to keep changing, and there's something pleasingly contemporary about this, which is nice.
There's been a talk for years now of the end of jazz. You know, Terry Teachout with his famous piece back in '09, saying the audiences are getting older. as recently as the 70s and 80s, they'd be in their 20s.
Right.
And now, sort of like classical, sort of like opera,
right,
jazz audiences are graying a little bit. Why is that happening, Terrence?
It's not happening. You know, I heard the same thing in 1980 when I first started playing with Art Blakey.
Yeah.
You know, there are younger people who will come into the audience, who are in the audience, you know, the younger people coming to the shows. Just yesterday, man, we were in Portsmouth, and, you know, there were a lot of young people in the audience very fascinated about the music and fascinated about what it is we're doing. I think when people have that argument, you know, I think a lot of that is because certain musicians are trying to uphold a tradition. You know, we have to constantly move forward. This music is an evolutionary thing. It has to evolve daily, you know, and it has to be relevant. And if you have those things, those elements in your music, you're going to attract younger people. You're going to attract people who are into things that are happening now. It's not to say that we don't respect our traditions and our history. We do. Mm-hmm. You can hear that in the music. But the other side of it is we have to move forward.
I mean, there is so much going on, and we're going to hear a lot of it in this hour. But, Patrick, it is striking. I mean, Terrence says, look, there are plenty of young people in the audience. But to think way back to a time when jazz, at least in its big band form, was popular music. I mean, that's what everybody was dancing to and snapping their fingers to and humming along to. We're in a different place today from that, Patrick. What does that say about where jazz has come to, where it's been?
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to get back to the era when, you know, Benny Goodman was a teen idol, you know, the object of, you know, teenage girl, of admiration for teenage girls everywhere. But
I don't know. I bet they're eyeballing Terrence Blanchard just plenty.
Okay. Yeah.
I do think that there are tons of artists these days, you know, who are taking this jazz training and really reflecting it, using it to reflect their own particular backgrounds, whether they come from other countries with other musical traditions, or whether they're just coming from, you know, an American pop music perspective. People who grew up listening to R&B and hip hop or rock music, any number of things. Jazz musicians have always had the ability to take what's current and reflect that in what they're doing. And that definitely presents a way forward, at least creatively, for the music.
At least creatively, as opposed to what?
Well, the bringing in audiences is a different question, but I'm pretty confident if the musicians make great music, then the people will come.
Let's just as a way of sort of putting some backdrop to this. This is a little bit from you mentioned Art Blakey. Of course, Terrence Blanchard performed with Art Blakey in the Jazz Messengers. This is back 1982. Oh, by the way, composed by Terrence Blanchard. That was the year that Terrence took over from trumpeter Wynton Marsalis in Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. Oh, by the way, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with Terrence Blanchard right there on the trumpet. You wrote that, too. You were 20 years old. Boy, can we hear that youthful let's go right there?
Actually, I wrote that in high school.
High school?
Yeah.
Performed when you were 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a part of an assignment that I had to do for a class, but that was my time.
So where do you feel like you've come, jazz has come since that, 1982, that your high school days even?
Well, I think what has happened, it's kind of like what Patrick was talking about a little earlier. We found a way to kind of let our influences, very much like when Dizzy started listening to Latin music and working with Chano Pozo, we found a way to bring all of the influences of things that we grew up listening to into the music. Jimi Hendrix, for example, you know, all of the R&B artists, along with all of the jazz greats, and not be afraid of that stuff, you know, not be a separatist in terms of saying that music has to exist in a vacuum over there and we're over here. I don't believe in that. You know, I believe, you know, we have to take all of who we are and bring all of those things together to create an art form that's unique and modern and really our own sound, you know.
Absolutely. Patrick, there's a continuity that we hear between this 82 and what came before and what we hear in Magnetic from Terrence today. Are there jazz musicians breaking that continuity? Are we going to hear that in Newport this weekend?
I think there are musicians who make a larger break from that continuity, but I think one of the great things about this sort of jazz community is that so many of the people who gain the respect of the jazz community come through the same sort of educational models. They come through, more experienced band leaders like Terrence, and maybe they'll then choose to go off in a different direction themselves, but they still come from this place of, learning and a lot of practice and tradition absorbing. I guess you could say that Robert Glasper is an example like that. You know, his first few albums demonstrated this, great deep knowledge of how to play, ding-ding-a-ling jazz. But recently with his experiment band, which mm-hmm. will be at Newport, he's been really reflecting in these really interesting ways how the blend of hip-hop and R&B and how modern jazz could sound.
We'll hear more of that in this hour. Here's one more from Terrence Blanchard's Magnetic. This is Pet Stepsitter's theme song, composed by young up-and-comer in his own right, pianist Fabian Almazan. We'll hear some of Fabian's work as well. You can join us this hour. We're looking at jazz and where it's going. Where do you hear jazz going? Are you listening? 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about jazz and where it's going. The Newport Jazz Festival opens tomorrow. We are listening in. Behind me right here, Endangered Species, Grammy-winning bassist, singer Esperanza Spalding of her 2012 album Radio Music Society. It's a song by saxophonist Wayne Shorter from the 80s, given lyrics and an R&B kind of funk twist here. Esperanza Spalding will be at the Newport Jazz Festival this weekend, as will the great Terrence Blanchard, who's with me in the studio today, and many more. Five-time Grammy Award-winning Terrence Blanchard is here. His latest album is Magnetic. We're also joined from Providence, Rhode Island, by Patrick Jiren-Watananan, NPR music and critic and producer, editor of the NPR's jazz site, A Blog Supreme. You can join us this hour. Where do you hear jazz going? Are you listening? Are you listening to the new stuff? Do you like what you hear? What do you like? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Terrence, Patrick, let me begin to bring in our callers. John's calling from Washington, D.C. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay.
So, I think that all of us NPR listeners, all of us college-educated folks, love to say that we love jazz, but I don't know that we really do.
Are you listening to what's behind us right now? Sounds pretty sweet to me.
It sounds pretty sweet to me, too, and I have, in my office here, I have some jazz records, and I would say I'm a jazz aficionado,
okay.
But I really don't buy that much jazz. I really don't go to that many jazz functions. My home station of WBEZ in Chicago has a running issue with people wanting jazz programming to come back, but I don't think people listen to that programming that much. I think they like it more than they actually ever listen to it.
Why do you think that is? Why won't you go to shows?
Mostly now because I have children, but just in general, though, I've never really gone as many jazz shows as I could. You know, I go to rock shows, I go to, I go to shows in general, but just not as many jazz shows as one would think, given, I'm a jazz person like everybody else.
So what do you think is going on, John? Why would people say, I love jazz, and then, at least in your interpretation, really, really not? And if they do, why wouldn't they go out and listen?
I think that you know, as a smart college-educated person, you're supposed to like jazz. I think that's one of the things we're supposed to do. Just like we're supposed to travel, we're supposed to, you know, care about the environment. There's things we're supposed to do, and we don't necessarily really do those things.
Terrence Blanchard, yeah, what do you say?
Well, my experience has been totally the opposite. I mean, you know, I've had a lot of friends of mine who know that I'm a jazz musician who always apologize and say, well, hey, man, I'm not really into the music. And I say, you know, that's okay. It's not for everybody. Just like there's some people who are not into rock and roll, may not be into calypso. You're not trying to appeal to everyone's musical sensibilities, but there are people who, you know, love certain things. And I've seen sold out shows, not only for myself, but a number of other artists. And I think that argument, that's a strong argument to against what the caller's talking about, because, like I said earlier, in the audience, there are a lot of young people. So it's okay for him not to really like jazz. That's fine.
Patrick, respond to our caller, John. I mean, is it possible that jazz is or has become a little more intellectual than visceral, and that's what our caller's describing?
I think, I'm in my 20s, and, you know, it can be hard to convince a fellow 20-somethings to come out and see a jazz show. I think there is a certain expectation among a certain group of folks that this is something that we're supposed to like. You know, it's been branded as America's classical music, and this great American product that we're supposed to appreciate in some intellectual way that, you know, is part of our cultural understanding. And of course, I believe all that stuff. But I think there is a disconnect in trying to get from that stage to bring people actually out into the audience. Oftentimes when they actually come to the shows, they, you know, a lot of people are entranced. But there is that gap between making jazz, which is, you know, something that, you know, people talk over versus something that people will actively go to.
Exactly.
Yeah. John, in Washington, I'm really glad you put the challenge right out there in that way. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your call, John. Thanks for that. Listen along with us to what's going on right now and see if you end the hour feeling the same way. Here's another track. This is from saxophonist Donnie McCaslin. Here's a cover of Alpha and Omega, originally written by the Scottish electronic duo Boards of Canada. You can hear the influence here of layering and electro-acoustic sound in the song, released in 2012 on McCaslin's album Casting for Gravity, Alpha and Omega. I don't know about anybody else, but to me, that's beautiful, mesmerizing, with punch in that drum. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got jazz, it's contemporary, it's on its own beam, Terrence.
Well, it is, but I also, you know, think it's very important to emphasize the fact that as a jazz artist, it's not like we're trying to, you know, beat everybody over the head and say, you have to like jazz. You know, that's not the issue. The issue is really, do you find something in the music? You know, in any art that happens, you know, sometimes you can go to a museum and some things will hit you very differently than other pieces of other works. So, you know, I think jazz has a tendency in this country to be painted with one broad brush. Mm. And that's what we have to start to realize, that there are a lot of different facets and elements to this music.
Boy, no kidding. You hear them right there. Mesmerizing and exciting at the same time. Donnie McCaslin. Anne's calling from Burlington, Vermont. Anne, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I love what you're doing with this. My husband was the dad of jazz in Burlington, Vermont. We just had a festival here. And one of the reasons I married the boy 50 years ago was because I told three of the guys I was dating Mulligan was in town, and he was the only one who said, I'll take you. So there you go. But I will say, apropos of your comment, that when I was young, I'm a painter, I did not like Matisse's studio. I thought it was stupid, blah, 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 blah. And now I love it. Our tastes develop if we give attention, if we open our minds.
60 years ago out on that date and still going strong, Anne. I really appreciate your call. That's just great. Let me get one more right here. Amelia, thank you, Anne. Amelia in Lebanon, Tennessee. Amelia, you're on.
Hey, I'm in my 50s, and, you know, I have to admit, I'm partial to the
Quincy Marcellus, that era of jazz. I don't like the new stuff because I think it's gotten too far away from what I consider to be the traditional instruments of jazz. But there's too much electro-technic kind of stuff. And I also, when I think of jazz, I think of intimate settings. I don't think of big concert venues. And that may be one of the reasons why the younger generation don't turn out for jazz unless, because they're used to those huge concerts.
So give it to you, old school, Amelia. We hear that, and intimate settings as well. It's interesting in every musical form. People like, the thing that brought them to it is often what they want to stick with there.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that I think is always important for people to understand. There are all different elements to this music, and you can find something that's for you. It just doesn't mean that it's not part of the lexicon of the music. You know, jazz has always been a controversial music because people always want to try to define exactly what it is. It's this, it's that. And as soon as, think about it, at a certain point, Dizzy Gillespie was not considered jazz because those guys were playing too many notes. You know, so when you start talking about this music, it's been an evolutionary process for it to go from where it was to where all of these musicians who are doing all of these various things now. And it's one of the reasons why people are confused when they come to hear my band, because sometimes they think of us as like a contemporary band, and then all of a sudden we start to play standards, and they go, well, wait a minute, what's going on?
It's all there.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, we're just trying to have fun playing music and not trying to live by a certain set of definitions that really don't apply to who we are as creative artists.
Amelia in Tennessee, we're going to give you more to hear. We've got Hefe writing into us, says, I'm very into jazz. Listen to a huge swath from Louis Armstrong to Coltrane, Rollins, Miles, Duke Ellington, Dexter Gordon, Joe Lovano, Ibrahim Malouf. This listener says, the future of jazz is not only here in the U.S., it's coming from all over the world, and from the sons and daughters of recent immigrants to the U.S. Seems to him that the future is bright and full. We may have an example of that with somebody that you work a lot with, Terrence. I've got a piece here from your Fabian Almazan.
Oh, yeah.
This is Personalities. Fabian's originally from Havana, Cuba. Mm-hmm. Young pianist, plays a big role in Terrence Blanchard's group today. He's written several songs for Terrence's new album. Mm-hmm. Here's Almazan with the title track from his own 2011 album, Personalities. And Amelia, you will hear a mix here of jazz and modern classical. Patrick, talk to us here. This is just gorgeous. How do you describe what we're hearing?
Well, as you mentioned, Fabian Almazan is this great young pianist who, you know, you actually hear some of his compositions on Terrence's new album.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's developed a knack for film and filmic composition, just like Terrence is a film composer himself. From having talked to Fabian a little bit here and there, I know he's, you know, interested in using different sounds, strings. He works with a lot on, this is from his debut album, and on that debut album he also arranges, I believe, a Shostakovich work, so he's really listening to a lot of classical music too. I know he just recently wrote a work for a singer, sort of like a chamber jazz ensemble too, and I'm hearing a lot of that, you know, a lot of, obviously, you know, respect for that jazz trio, which is in the background, but you know, he's searching for something else too, which is which I think is really interesting. I want to respond briefly to Amelia from mm-hmm. Tennessee. I think that one of the great things about Newport is that it is such a big and diverse festival, right? So you can have, you know, the quote-unquote new stuff that uses electronics and experiments like that, but you also have on the same day Bob Wilbur, who's going to be appearing with the band. And Bob Wilbur is, you know, the saxophonist and clarinet player who studied with Sidney Bechet, somebody from, you know, way back when. I think all that stuff is considered under this one big tent of what jazz is now. And I think Newport does a good job of presenting that.
Boy, Terrence Blanchard, I can so see why you brought Fabian Almazan under your big tent, Terrence Blanchard.
Sure.
But to Hefe's point about immigrants and the sounds that they're bringing in. That was just gorgeous. Personalities there from Fabienne. Here's another looking at, this is a number of artists at Newport mixing jazz with music from other cultures. One of those, Iraqi-American trumpeter Amir El-Safar. His music is kind of a blend of microtonal language, traditional stringed instruments. Here's his song Al-Badia from his 2011 album Inanna. Gorgeous, and we're right there a little bit in the cusp. Just beautiful, beautiful from Amir El-Safar. Philip in Harwich, Massachusetts. Philip, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that I travel down to New York City from Harwich once a month for the express purposes of seeing jazz music. And I usually go to the Village Vanguard. That's pretty much my favorite spot down there. And I have to tell you that no matter who I go see, whether it be the new generation of kids coming up, the Rosenwinkels and the Mark Turners, the Robert Glaspers, whether it be the old guard, the Frank Wesses and the Cedar Waltons, the crowd at the Village Vanguard certainly has an awful lot of young folks in there. Always really happy to see that, and whoever was making the statement that it's just not happening with the young kids, I just don't see that. And the Village Vanguard is about as old a club as you can ever go to, and they are promoting both the new wave and the old. So
you see plenty of the young right in there, and I love it.
I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Terrence is right there. He looks out over his trumpet and sees the same thing. Yeah. But thank you, Philip. One more right here from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Logan's calling. Hi, Logan. You're on.
Hi, Tom. I live in Oklahoma City. I'm a fairly young guy, and I love jazz, but my problem is there's really nowhere to go to see jazz here in the Midwest. I mean, outside of the jazz meccas like New York, New Orleans, Chicago, there really aren't a whole lot of places to go see live jazz, which I feel like seeing it live is a part of the experience of listening to jazz.
Well, Terrence is considering your comment carefully here, Logan. What about it, Terrence? You tour a lot.
Well, the thing is, that's what jazz societies are for. You know, in the 80s, there were jazz societies popping up all over the country.
And what do they do? How do they work?
Their sole purpose was to raise money to put on performances around the country, you know. And you have local groups, you know, that raise money. And you don't have to put on, like, a ton of concerts, you know, but, you know, just a small series, a small festival, maybe 6 to 8 concerts a year,
mm-hmm.
goes a long way in having people experience the music, especially young people who become new listeners and new performers mm-hmm. in your area.
But Patrick, at the same time, I mean, that kind of speaks to the fact that it's become an aficionado's music in some ways. You have to have the society organized to bring it in.
I do definitely think it is an issue that outside of the major jazz cities, it's harder to see this music on a consistent basis. I mean, it's just become economically unviable for many jazz clubs to exist outside of those large areas. I think you do see a lot of musicians now beginning to tour to do one night hits at a major theater instead of doing a few nights at a club, mm-hmm. or play at the local university, wherever there's enough, you know, money to make it viable for a jazz group to actually tour across the country. And that is an issue that I do think that we do need to figure out. How to more properly fund it so people can see it live, because let's face it, it is such a live music. You're not getting the same thing if all you're doing is listening to jazz on record.
Yeah, well, we're bringing you all we can in this hour of a lot of new sounds. Behind us right here, the Chicago group, the Ray Anderson Pocket Brass Band, with their modern take on New Orleans style jazz in the song High School. 2012 album was Sweet Chicago Sweet. The great Terrence Blanchard is with us. He'll be at the Newport Jazz Festival. Latest album is Magnetic. NPR's wonderful blogger at A Blog Supreme, Patrick Jaranwatanan, is with us. He'll be in Newport as well. You can join us this hour. What's your playlist, your loyalty? What's your question for Terrence Blanchard? What do you want from jazz now? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. When we return, Jonathan Batiste is with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. ¶¶ I'm Tom Asbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about jazz and where it's going. The Newport Jazz Festival opens tomorrow. We are listening in with the great Terrence Blanchard. He'll be there. He's with us in the studio today. Five-time Grammy Award-winning jazz trumpeter, bandleader, composer, arranger, film score composer. If you've watched a Spike Lee film, you've heard a lot, no doubt, of Terrence Blanchard. Just terrific to have him with us. His opera Champion opened last month in St. Louis. He'll be in Newport. Patrick Jaranwatanan is with us as well from NPR Music, editor of NPR's jazz site, a blog, Supreme. They'll be live streaming Newport all this weekend. Jonathan Batiste joins us in just a moment. You can join us as well. What do you want from jazz now? What do you want jazz to be, to become? Do you like what we're hearing this hour? 800-423-8255 is our number. Right now, with us from New York City is Jonathan Batiste, jazz singer, multi-instrumentalist, bandleader, originally from Kenner, Louisiana, west of New Orleans, performs with the trio Stay Human. He'll be in Newport. You can hear I'm From Kenner right behind us from Jonathan Batiste. Jonathan Batiste, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be here, man.
It's great to have you. I don't know if that sounds new or old or both. I mean, you put me in the streets of New Orleans, but I don't think that's where you recorded it, Jonathan.
Oh, no. We recorded that live in Manhattan on the subway.
So what are you going for there? Is this retro or what's your thing there, Jonathan?
Well, you know, when we composed that song, we were just kind of trying to come up with melodies that we could bring to people in a social setting where they don't usually hear music. And we thought about playing in all the places that we could think of. And the train is just a place where they have a captive audience. You can go there and people are there and they're not going to hear music, but they can't go nowhere once you start playing and the train doors close.
That's lucky. Let's hear a little more from you. This is Let God Lead. This is some social music coming out this fall, composed, performed by Jonathan Batiste, pianist, singer here. This is from the forthcoming album coming out this fall. You hear a little R&B, maybe even some influence from singer Andre 3000 of Outkast, maybe some New Orleans jazz. Let God Lead.
Let love lead, let God lead. Let love lead, let God lead. Let love lead, let God lead. Let love lead, let God lead. Can love struck? No way. Can love destroy? No way. Does love be little?
Jonathan Batiste with Let God Lead, composed and performed by Jonathan from his album Social Music, coming out this fall. Terrence Blanchard, say hello to Jonathan.
What's
Patrick.
What's up, younger? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, bro. Proud of you, man.
We've got all kinds of love for both of you here on Facebook. John writes, as a resident of New Orleans, I am so excited about this show. Terrence Blanchard is one of the crown jewels of New Orleans. So lucky to call him a native son. Says jazz will be just fine. Its greatest strength is that it takes a little from pot A and mixes it with what's cooking in pot B. Always evolving, always fresh. The very history of jazz is that it was a gumbo. Says, I can't speak to your caller from Washington, D.C., but down on Frenchman Street in New Orleans, the clubs are always packed. 504, baby, the area code there. And Kenna Bra, he says, that one's for John Batiste. He's calling out to you as well, Jonathan.
Kenna Bra.
Yeah, Kenna Bra. Okay.
Oh, Kenna. Man.
What is that?
Kenna.
Oh, that's Kenna. Oh. Kenna, Louisiana. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Kenna Bra.
Okay.
Yeah, bro.
Okay. Straight to you. Patrick, Jaron Watanana, it's great to have you with these two wonderful musicians. What do you hear in the gumbo of Jonathan Batiste, Patrick?
Well, I hear all sorts of good things. I've been watching Jonathan Batiste on the show Tremé, you know, and you know they portray his character as, you know, this guy who's, you know, sort of straddles between New Orleans and New York. John.
True.
I know that John lives in New York now, but he's originally from New Orleans, and you know they do this thing where they play in these modern club settings, but they show a certain, like New Orleans spirit to it. And you can hear it in the bass line in that song. And, you know, like the idea of just like going into the subway or under the Lower East Side, and just playing music for folks. Very New Orleans thing to do.
Just a wonderful sound, so much energy there. And yeah, that kind of sound of being somewhere is wonderful. Let's get a call from New Orleans. Andrew's calling from Louisiana, New Orleans. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a music teacher down here, and what I find out with jazz is even with the kids in New Orleans, if they listen to too much jazz during class, they'll fall asleep on me. They find it too complicated, and that they'll recognize the name Louis Armstrong,
mm-hmm.
but they don't always recognize everybody else. And so I find it hard to sometimes teach jazz to these kids and have them not get away from, you know, try to get them away from just the regular mainstream pop music.
Maybe you're just not playing the right stuff, or I don't know, maybe there's just some disconnect. Terrence?
Well, sometimes you have to make things relevant. I mean, you know, when I'm working with young kids, I try not to give them as much history first. I try to give them background in terms of what the music, how the music is built. Mm-hmm. I try to teach them the blues, try to teach them how to count the blues. We play games in terms of me counting the blues, stopping,
mm-hmm.
or playing a blues, having them count to themselves, and I'm stopping, and they have to tell me where they are in the, mm-hmm. where we are in the form.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can bring it forward and start to talk about, well, this guy played the blues this way, and this guy played the blues that way. And I think a lot of times when you give people a lot of information in anything, not just jazz or anything, subject, if you give it to them too much of it, it can kind of turn them off. But at the same time, you still have to do it, because when I was a kid, my father mm-hmm. listened to opera all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and I heard opera in the house all the time. And as a kid, I kept telling myself I didn't like opera. And look at what's going on with me right now. Just finished
writing an opera,
exactly,
champion.
Exactly.
But doesn't that mean there was something that required no explanation in that opera that over time just mm-hmm. got its hooks into you?
Well, of course, and that's with any great art form. What we're doing here in this conversation is we're trying to separate pop culture from artistic culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, sometimes in the art world, you're not going to get it at first, but you have to be exposed to it. You have to have to plant that seed for that seed to grow.
I want to keep hearing it and hearing it. Can't get enough of all this new stuff. We heard a little bit of Robert Glasper just at the top, but Andrew in New Orleans, try this out on your class. This is Afro Blue from the Robert Glasper Experiment. This is featuring Erykah Badu from 2012's Black Radio, Afro Blue.
Shades of delight, Coco Hue. Rich as the night, Afro Blue.
Written by Mongo Santamaria, made famous by John Coltrane, but made very new right there by Erykah Badu and Robert Glasper. Try a little of that on them, maybe.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, please,
you know, Andrew, you'd be surprised, too, the number of people who come to my show and they'll tell me. They say, man, you know, when I was young, my father or my teacher played jazz for me and I couldn't really understand it. But the more I heard it, the more things started to make sense to me, the more I started to understand what was going on. So it happens over time, you know, and I think you just have to be vigilant in terms of giving these kids some type of exposure to this American history.
Play it, put it in their ears, and have a little patience. The great Terrence Blanchard is with us. Jonathan Batiste, NPR's Patrick Jaran Watanonon is here. Steve in Buffalo, New York. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I love your show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
My comment is that I'm a fairly young guy. I'm 35 years old, and jazz for me has always just been a real visceral thing. I grew up in the suburbs, not really exposed to jazz. And the first time I heard John Coltrane, I was about 8 years old. It just it hit me like a freight train. And I was lucky enough that my dad, I found out later in life, was actually a pretty big jazz fan. So maybe I got that in my genes. But my question is, how do we expose people in my generation and younger generation more to, you know, the jazz that the way that my parents were exposed? I think that jazz is alive and well. I know for me, it's not a high-minded thing. It's a very internal experience.
Yeah. But you have to hear it to know it, and you have to know it to love it. How do we make it happen? I appreciate that, Steve. Jonathan Batiste, what do you say to our caller from Buffalo?
Well, I'm 26, and I'm playing jazz. And I grew up, fortunately, around an environment that had music as a part of its every day. accesses, you access music in your street, you access music in your classroom, but you also access it when somebody dies at a funeral. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. You access it when you're born, there's celebratory music. And I think that for me, I was lucky. But for people that are around the country, the best way to do that is that good old internet. You jump on YouTube or you jump on anything where you can see an artist and see a live stream or see something that's happening across the world. And if you get a chance, then you go there and you go to those different places. But I think there's a lot of different ways for people to interface now that basically in our parents' generation and the generations before them never were in existence. But Tom, so that was a big tool for me.
Terrence Blanchard?
But Tom, I think what mm-hmm. you're doing around here goes mm-hmm. a long way to doing that. Because the first thing we have to do is change the attitude towards the music just in general. Because I know that there are some late night television shows that have a mandate. There's no jazz to be performed on these shows. And that's basically because they have an attitude about this music being something that the public doesn't want to hear. But I think if we change that attitude through discussions like this, then we can have a broader place where the music can be experienced by people who may not have access to the internet but may have a television in the home where they could. Because, listen, when I was a kid, I heard Pete Fountain, Al Hurd, you know, all these people on the Tonight Show.
All the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a gift to give. Let's hear a little bit more of yours, Terrence, if we may. This is off of Magnetic, this year's album. Performed, composed by Terrence Blanchard. Especially interesting, electronically influenced song, Hallucinations. Beautiful and challenging, and takes us somewhere all at the same time right there. Terrence Blanchard's Hallucinations. Christian's calling from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Christian, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to say, Terrence, I saw you in Portsmouth last night, and I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. I'm studying jazz trumpet at Berklee College of Music. Ooh. And my comment is just that, you know, I really agree with you when I, you know, lots of young people really are listening and are really eager to learn. Now, at Portsmouth, you know, maybe more of the audience was older, but, you know, certainly at a place like Berklee, you know, if I said, oh, I'm seeing Terrence Blanchard, almost everybody is like, wow, is really excited and really eager. I also play at Wally's Cafe on Wednesday nights, and I found that even on a Wednesday night, an off night, what's important is that they don't... they let anybody of any age come in and bring your horn and play. And people are always walking by. Young people are always coming in, eager to listen, eager to play, especially if it's live. I think if kids hear music, maybe they on the radio, maybe they're not as interested, but they walk by Wally's and see this live jazz being played. They're eager. They say, wow. Mm-hmm. They come in, and, you know, if you have your horn or you want to, any drummers or pianists want to sit in, you know, these kids are eager to learn. And I think the music is not dying at all. I really believe that's moving forward and will continue to do so.
Christian, I love your call. When it rolls right out the door and hits you in the ear, you know it's live. We've got a full playlist of everything that you've heard in this hour up at our website, onpointradio.org. Patrick, you're going to be in Newport all weekend, live streaming for NPR. What are you looking forward to that we haven't managed to play in this hour, Patrick?
Oh, man. You know, I always go to Newport and I'm generally stuck at a stage or running around kind of crazy like half the time, but I love Newport because it's a smorgasbord. You know, you can get a chance to see all sorts of things. You can get to see maybe newer and more experimental artists. You also get a chance to see, you know, like living legends. You know, guys like Eddie Palmieri. He'll be there with a big band. You know, he's been leading bands for 50 years now, and he's just a giant of Latin jazz. Every time that he performs, you know it's going to be strong and emphatic. I'm always excited to hear Wayne Shorter's band. Wayne Shorter, people are, you know, a lot of people say he's one of the greatest jazz composers of all time, and I believe it. He's turning 80 this year, and which is just astounding. And the band that he's got right now is as creative a band as he's ever had. He'll also be performing with his old friend, Herbie Hancock, which will be a cool little reunion to see.
Yeah, that's quite a span from Wayne Shorter turning 80 to Jonathan Batiste. You at the other end of the age roll here. Is it fun to play with the guys who have done it for, 400,000 years, Jonathan?
Well, that's how you learn the music. You have to have somebody that's been there and done that, and you just soak the music up from them, and there's a lot that you learn that's you look at them and you learn it vicariously. You don't even have to take a lesson plan or go through something that they're telling you. You just watch them and play with them, and more time goes by and you learn more.
Yeah, and there is always more to learn. Jonathan Batiste, we hope you have a great weekend at the Newport Jazz Festival. We look forward to your new album, Social Music, coming out this fall, and we are so grateful to you for being with us this hour. Good luck with everything, Jonathan. Thanks for joining us.
Proud of you, John.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you, Terrence.
All right, bro.
And Patrick Jaron Watananan with us today from Rhode Island Public Radio. He'll be at the Newport Jazz Festival this weekend, live streaming blogs for NPR at a blog supreme. Patrick, you're terrific. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy.
Thanks for having me, Tom, and pleasure to be here with these guys who I consider musical heroes.
Yeah, yes, indeed. We'll go out with one more from Terrence Blanchard. You can catch him and Jonathan Batiste at the Newport Jazz Festival this weekend. If you're in town, you can see Terrence tonight in Boston. Here's another step from his album, Magnetic. Terrence Blanchard, just an honor to have you with us.
Thanks,
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for what you're doing. This has been great.
Wow, it's just wonderful. Enjoy the festival. So great to have you with us. Listeners, thanks for all your input today. Full playlist at our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.